say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy? Not crazy.
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
His brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51. The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation, to the podcast that's never brought an animal back to life by throwing it down a bottomless pit. We do it the old-fashioned way, by burying it in an old Indian burial ground in New England. This is Hysteria 51.
Sometimes. That is better.
I wouldn't say sometimes.
Yeah, John, ground went sour, just like we like it.
True. We are broadcasting from the lower fourth dimension, otherwise known as Chicago. I am your host, John Goforth, and alongside is my co-host and the man voted most likely to throw the bodies of dead animals into bottomless pits in high school, Mr. Brent Hand.
Really had to reach out for that one, huh?
I'm only as good as the source material. That's all I can say.
Don't sell yourself short, John. You've ruined plenty of episodes that had good source material too.
I've ruined.
Yes.
But you're
no. Not,
entire episodes have literally.
Hush, John. It's okay. We understand. You're a meat sack. It isn't your fault. You suck.
If you're wondering what's going on, well, first, welcome to the podcast, and you've got some homework to do. Oh, and also that robot you're hearing, it's Conspiracy Bot. I built C-Bot to edit, produce, and I guess generally help the show or the podcast, and he does none of those things. But on the flip side, wait. Man, no, there is no flip side. He pretty much just sucks, John.
Sucks like a basketball through pantyhose, panty panties. T-T-T Boston Tea Party, San Adams Cheese Muffins.
And the other idiot you just heard from is C-Bot's robotic creation, Kyle. He sits comfortably at the intersection of poorly conceived and poorly executed.
Well, then he's perfect for this dumpster fire.
Speaking of dumpster fires, C-Bot, the United States presidential election happened, or, well, I suppose, as of this moment, is still happening. And while, as of the time of this recording, the outcome has not yet been decided, I think it's pretty safe to say you will not be our next president.
I've got lawyers working on it. We're still fighting the good fight.
Lawyers? What lawyers do you have working on it for you?
Remember that hobo we walked past the other day that I tried to shock? Well, we got to talking and it turns out his podiatrist is also a lawyer. I like him because he's efficient.
I'm gonna ask. I shouldn't, but efficient? How so?
Like the Lincoln lawyer, where Matthew McConaughey does all of his lawyering out of the back of a Lincoln. My guy is like that. Only it's a 1983 Ford Econoline, two-tone brown.
So, the Econoline lawyer...
Eco lawyer, please. He prefers brevity, as do I.
So, the eco lawyer is going to file lawsuits in an effort to do what exactly?
Make me president.
On what grounds? Like, what's the actual complaint you're going to file in court?
Simple. I should be president and anything else is silly.
Yeah, that tracks.
I'm not sure there's actual legal precedent.
It's
for
on
that,
brand, though.
It's true.
And that's why you aren't a successful lawyer / podiatrist.
Once again, that tracks.
You can't argue with the point.
No, you can't. I think we're all better that C-Bot, well, I shouldn't say that. We're all relieved, probably, that he didn't get enough votes to even make it on the ballots.
C-Bot, Kanye West got more votes than you did.
Every single ballot I filled out for dead people had my name on it, so frankly I find that hard to believe.
How did you get all the names and addresses of the dead people?
Dude, they weren't dead when I took the ballots.
That's probably where we move on before litigation for real starts in. but speaking of moving on, John, we're moving on to a hole, kind of like his head, or, well, there's two holes in it for toast, but yeah, this one's in the ground, and it's a special hole, John.
Don't know much about this week's topic. I'm assuming it's a porno featuring the Spice Girl.
Yeah, it's Mel's deep hole, and we're gonna try to fill it.
I mean, let's just get that out of the way right now. Just go ahead and make all of it, all the jokes.
Holy shit, though, man. These fucking crazy Mel's holers, and I'm using that as a way to describe them. It's probably, I'm not going to say it's the most, but it's one of the most requested topics ever. And why, John? I have no idea. I got an idea. It's a fun topic, but it's just crazy that so many people are really digging Mel's hole.
What I would say back to them is, so tell me what you want, what you really, really want.
Yeah, I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. What they wanted was this fucking episode. And we finally did a contest on Patreon. And the winner was Dwayne, or as frequent listeners here might know him from his voicemails, Dwayne, a.k.a. Snatch Twat, as he goes by. He was, we let him pick the topic, and he picked Mel's Hole.
Dwayne, Snatch Twat, we enjoyed your voicemail so much, we literally stopped doing it as a feature on the show. I kid. It's just a joke.
He did, though, John. He requested, and I figured it was time.
If good old Snatch Twat asks you to inspect a big hole, you do it.
He says without a hint of irony.
Sage-like advice there, Kyle.
I am actually proud of him for once.
Noted. I can actually see where that would be the case.
Not surprising.
So without further ado, John, are you ready to go spelunking in a bottomless hole?
Again? I can't wait. All right. I can't wait.
Well, I think the number one question, and the number one question I had when I first heard about this a while ago is, what the fuck is a Mel's hole? Because that should be where your head goes.
It's a good place to start.
I'll tell you what it is. It's the story that is so much bigger than any of its actual parts, so to speak.
That is actually spot on for some reason, and I don't know why he included that, but it's true. It's the story that doesn't go away. Also, this is the story that facts and common sense be damned, which it fits right in with a lot of the shit that we talk about, actually, I think is what I'm getting at with that statement.
Well, and you said, how is Seabot so correct about this? I mean, what he said is true of so many of the topics that we talk about being bigger than the sum of their parts. And also, a broken clock's right twice a day.
Well, that's true. It's kind of like, remember Skinny Bob? You know, the fanfare around it is almost bigger than the story itself. But getting that aside, let's actually get to the story of Mel's Hole and the root of the story. The short little elevator pitch, so to speak, or whatever, goes something like this.
The Gophopedia?
Oh, there you go. It's almost like we need to have that as a website or something. I don't know.
Something like that, yeah.
Okay. There's said to be a bottomless pit near Ellensburg, Washington. A pit with a strange pet cemetery like powers. And I'm glad that as I was making notes and I kept writing pet cemetery with the S, and my computer kept saying, no, it's with a C, and I'm like, add a dictionary. Cause I think it's fine either way.
I was actually really confused by that when I was typing. I'm like, wait, which, so S is right?
Only, so it was spelled wrong in the book, because whoever had put like the sign up didn't know how to spell cemetery. So the movie, everything was spelled Pet Cemetery, S.
Oh.
So it's funny, as I was making notes, though, it kept telling me no. I'm like, I want to spell this like my mind is telling me to spell it.
That makes so much more sense. Now, I was really confused when I was doing my research. But but that also shows you how we do our research. Rather than spending more time with more websites that are about the actual thing, we're both looking at clips of old Pet Cemetery, of the old Pet Cemetery movie.
So it's a pit that defies all science, if you ask old Mel and people that say they've been there. And it's really hard to find when tasked with proving its existence, much like a lot of the things we talk about.
It's also one of the, doesn't mean we won't cover it, but it is one of those out there, outlandish stories with a single source representation of truth.
Right.
There aren't multiple people that have well, I shouldn't say that. We will get to old Red Crow in a bit.
Was it Red Crow, Red Eagle, Red Fox?
Something like that. He's just reinforcing Mel's story. Yeah. Mel is the originator of said story.
And we do have a jumping off point for this story, because the first time it's ever proven to be brought up is on the show of shows, Coast to Coast AM, back in the golden days of Art Bell. That is where a lot of people out there around our age or younger, even older, kind of cut their teeth in this world of the weird, so to speak.
On Coast to Coast. Yeah, and that's the point I was trying to make. Like, Mel goes on to be on the show talking about Mel's Hole and associated things 4 or 5 times.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the extent of the, I guess, original reporting we have right. on this.
Right. Now, there are others that have definitely, and we're going to get into that, thrown their hat into the ring. But the brunt of all of it, well, the brunt of everything comes from really two sources. Mel talking to Coast AM, and then there is some interaction with Mel and a couple websites that dried up a very long time ago. But we do have some accounts as far as that goes. But the first account, and you know, our jumping off point was February 21st, 1997. And that night, a guy calls in claiming to be Mel Waters is the name he used. And Mel needs us to know about his hole. Mel said that he had some property 9 miles west of Ellensburg in Kittitas County, Washington. Kittitas County, I believe. K-I-T-T-I-T-A-S.
You nailed it.
Yeah. And on said land is, you guessed it, a hole. But no, not just any hole, nay, a mysterious hole.
I used to go by the name Mystery Hole when I fought for crime in the 60s.
I just can't with him today, John.
And see, but what exactly do you mean you fought for crime?
I meant what I said.
I believe he probably does.
Yeah. Anyway, according to good old Mel Waters, the hole is deep. And we're going to come back to that because just kind of how deep it is. And there's a 3.5 foot thick stone retaining wall around the hole, extending about 15 feet down. And the pit has been on this plot of land since before the previous owner had lived there. And the previous owner was old and had lived there for, you know, many, many, many decades. So it's old. And the land is next to, get ready for it, Native American land.
Mm-hmm.
That's always something that they throw out mm-hmm. there, like, ooh. And then, you know, I'm sure we can get conspiracy about to throw in a caw, like an eagle or a hawk flying by, you know? No, that'll work. Yeah, and it's really, really deep.
How deep is it?
Well, you know, a feller wants to find out how deep that hole or well might be on his property. So he tries to measure it. Now, at first, he does what any good citizen of Washington would do, is he puts some lifesavers on the end of a rope, and he lets it down to 1,500 feet. See, he figured if he hit water, he'd know because they'd get wet, the rope would be wet, they would start to deteriorate. Nay, no water dissolved any of the candy, no water on the rope or anything was indicated.
One other thing you mentioned, that there's this retaining wall around it.
Mm-hmm.
So, in theory, someone built that wall.
Right.
And we're also saying that this hole is really deep. Some have right. claimed it's bottomless, which I don't really know what bottomless means.
I don't know, but I'll tell you what. Shakey's will kick you out, and there is an end to their bottomless cheese fries, so fuck them.
Oh, Shakey's. It's diarrhea, but in buffet form. I think that was their tagline for a while.
Yeah.
Anyway, the here's the thing. How about being the guy that had, you said it went 15 feet down.
1,500 feet down before he
no, stopped. No. The retaining
yeah,
wall.
Yeah, the retaining wall. Yeah.
15 feet down. How about being the guy that's installing that? So if you fall, no big deal, only you're going to fall for eternity.
Well, everyone's seen that scene in, what was it, Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, where they fall to hell. Ah, God, this is a deep hole. Should we start screaming again? Yeah. Ah, you guys want to play 20 questions? Okay. Ah. Just falling forever. It's what was happening to Loki when he was.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
He's like, I've been falling for 30 minutes. So, like I said, the lifesaver trick, it didn't hit anything, but he wants to figure out exactly how deep it is. So he used to do some offshore fishing, and those have, I think you've actually done some offshore fishing, haven't
oh, yeah.
you, John?
Oh, yeah.
You know those big reels they have, they're gigantic.
Oh, yeah.
And the test line is, you know, hundreds and hundreds.
It's insane. I mean, I caught a 7.5 foot marlin, and I mean, the thing must have weighed every bit of 300 pounds.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've got this fishing line that it's not like it looks like rope. It looks like, you know, high test fishing line that holds no problem. But in all seriousness, Brent, he said that the line.
Yeah,
that,
he's going to use that.
He got 80,000 feet of line so far. He was buying it in 5,000 foot increments.
Yeah, he tied some weights to the bottom of it and he starts just dropping it in and dropping it in and dropping it in.
And one of the things to think about with that, now I did not sit and spend the time actually doing the physics and calculus required to figure it out. Actually, it's probably not calculus. But anyway, the point is I didn't sit and figure it out, but that doesn't hold to me. 80,000, like eventually the weight of both the force of gravity on the weight on the bottom and then just the mass of the string itself, it would weigh so much, it would snap. Like you can't, it couldn't go on forever.
Right. Now, you know, I don't think 80,000 feet, I don't know that they're going to, he said he was using offshore shit. I think that's just his way to get around any of those naysayers, you know, because you don't have 900 pounds of line, probably.
Well, and that's not to mention the temperature would have been so hot at that point.
Well, that's fucking, we're going to get into that, John. You're telling tales out of school. That's physics. They don't fucking matter when you're on Native American adjacent voodoo holes.
Oh, yeah. Fuck. Okay.
John, it's super deep, motherfucker. That's all that matters. And it's spooky. It's so spooky. If you throw something dead in it, it comes back. Just like they said they did with his neighbor's dog. Mel's own dog, however, though, he was terrified of the pit and refused to go by it. The neighbor supposedly had a hunting dog. It died. He throws it in the hole. A couple days later, the dog's running around, still got the same collar and everything. They're like, come here, boy, and it wouldn't come to them and ran off. As you are one to do when you're back from the dead.
Well, sometimes dead's better.
Yeah, well, also the hole did not produce any echo. So you can, you know, hello, nothing, you know. I like to think people just come there to yell hello into it. That's what you do when you're around a big hole. The other thing it did produce, though, John, is a little bit weird stuff with the radio. See, once old Mel brought his radio to the site, as one's to do when you're laying down some pipe, I mean line, into a hole. And he said that he couldn't turn into like his normal radio stations, but instead radio played unknown voices in old-timey music like he was picking up radio waves from the past.
So what I really want to believe about this story, like, let's even say the rest of it's true and Mel's hole is real. He had this little transistor radio with him. He turned it on. He picks up an oldie station. Oh, holy shit. They're playing songs from 30 years ago. It is magic. Like, no, man. It's literally just an oldie station.
Ooh, bring me. No one's heard this song in over 30 years. That was the time before. So we got a hole, it's deep, it's got radio, no echo, dogs come back to life, yada, yada, yada. Now, not one to let a good hole go to waste, everyone's favorite uncle, who goes by Sam, came swooping in when they heard about said hole, and Waters said U.S. federal agents came to seize the land because of its magical properties and kindly funded his relocation to Australia. Now, we're going to get on the weird shit with that. But that's what he said it happened, and that's pretty much the original account of the story of the Mel's hole. And it really, I can't stress enough, sparked the imagination and attention of so many, not only Hysteria 51 listeners, but just people out there listening to Coast to Coast AM. I want to play you some of the audio from the initial call, just a little bit with Mel and Art, and then we'll go to break. So stay tuned. After the clip here for more Hysteria 51.
Now to Eastern Washington. I guess this is Eastern Washington. Mel, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right. When did you discover this hole?
Well, the hole has always been there. We've been out there for a couple of years now. And, you know, the hole has been there since we've been there. It's been there since the previous owner was there. And the previous owner there was quite elderly. And I'd say he was there for a good 30, 40 years before we moved in.
Wow.
And then...
And so there's been a thing of throwing stuff down this hole for a long time.
Oh, yeah. It's been going on, you know, for as long as the hole has been there, I assume. The people from around there throw all the stuff in the hole. I mean, it's just been going on for a long time. Well, You know, I got to thinking one day, how come this hole is not filling up? It must be an awfully deep hole. You know, I used to be a professional shark fisherman, so I had a couple of huge fishing reels, went out there and started letting the line down. I figure after one...
Did you weight the line?
Oh, yeah. There's in fact, the original line is still down there. I've just been adding to the line and keeping track of how much line I have used.
There is a tremendous amount of naturally generated high-voltage electricity deep in the earth. What if the bottom of the hole on Mel's property is a naturally occurring focal point, a lot like the device that Mr. Markham built? The earth could have its own, in effect, time machine. Over the centuries, through various quakes and so forth, all of the soil above the portal would have fallen into the bottom and been launched into some other time. This explains the lack of echoes and the apparent depth of the hole. Tell Mel to lower a clock down there.
Hola, David. Me llamo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it, so... It's very high on pronunciation, too, so you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And you know our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation, yeah, that's right. But they design it for long-term retention, you know. If you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do, and then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition and it hears you. You get to use like the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused. Or really cool. I'd go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and both of us have given the seal of approval because we wanted to do this long term, and it's something that it works, you know, and we don't do long term stuff like this, and this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now. Get started. For very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete, you're 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off, rosettastone.com/today. Do it today. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when Brent and I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, we thought, man, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Brent is trying a plan right now and says that it works like a charm from Chicago to Nashville as he makes his big old move. Mint Mobile is working for him. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And you can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. So ditch the overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com mintmobile.com/hysteria. That's mintmobile, mintmobile.com/hysteria, hysteria. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/hysteria. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
I really, really, really want to zig a zig. Nation, we are back, and we are still talking about Mel B's hole. I mean, Mel's hole. It's some of these are, like, I always talk about, when people ask about this podcast, I'm like, well, it's like a dick and fart joke where we talk about aliens. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably the best description of this podcast. And it's, you know, we aren't scared to make perhaps the a blue joke here or there, but we don't chase them down. But this one, I mean, couldn't they have come up with just a little bit different nomenclature?
Yeah, a guy named Mel owns property, and there's a hole on it. What do you want to call it?
Mel's bottomless pit.
The ancientless one's slumber station. Like, I don't know. I mean, we can call it whatever we want. We can call it John's Dookie
Mel's
hole.
Mel's bottomless pit sounds like a really, really good barbecue place in, like, I don't know, middle of nowhere, Wyoming.
Speaking of Dookie hole that I just said, Nick from Brohio Podcast posted on Facebook. It was a picture of someone, and they had posted, they're like, fuck Halloween, and they have a picture of their pumpkin. Someone took a shit in my pumpkin, and there was literally someone had shit their pumpkin. And the first comment was, it's a spooky dookie. And I laughed an unnatural amount at that. I'm not even ashamed. I am not ashamed in the slightest. I cried laughing. It's a spooky dookie.
That's the level of humor that you get on this podcast.
It is. It is. Now, I am going to tell you a little secret here.
Oh, boy.
Bell is not one to call once and be done, as you kind of stated earlier. He's going to call back because he's got more stories for old Art Bell back in the day.
Well, first he's got to tell us about how the government seized his hole.
Well, right. So he calls the next time. He tells him the events of the next day. It's like, isn't that the name of Porky's 2, the next day? Anyway, further, further calls, they all reveal more details that we're going to get into a little bit here. But the next call fleshes out all that old Uncle Sam business that we were kind of hinting at. So the next day after he calls Art, uniformed people stopped him from going on his own property. They're like, hey, and they said a plane had crashed and he couldn't enter his own property. Well, Mel's not an idiot. So he calls BS on the old Richard Doty technique that they were throwing out there.
No, it's not Richard. Term. I mean, come on. It wasn't. It was a plane, not a spacecraft.
Well, oh, that's true. They're like, it was a plane carrying a spacecraft. So it's threat time, though, because he is like, come on, guys, this is bullshit. So they say, you know, a drug lab could easily pop up on the property if you don't pound sand and get out of here.
What a threat. Of all the things, we might just find a meth lab on your property if you don't shape up.
Well, and then everyone goes, I knew it. I knew old Waters. All that anhydrous, and he ain't growing no corn. No, I don't.
Making all that meth in that hole.
Mm-hmm. Well, it takes more than a threat to shake old Mel, and he tells him he's going to go to the news. Like, okay, well, you do that, I'm going to the news.
So they killed him and made it look like an accident.
That does match their usual M.O.
Actually, can't blame you on this one.
Yeah,
but
he doesn't say they had, you know, he called back in, so they didn't do that. He said they offered to lease the property for, get this, John, $250,000 a month. That's a pretty pretty decent little chunk of change to let people go poking around in your back hole.
And back that's hole? Where they yeah. lost me in the story. I was in on bottomless hole. I was in on spooky radio stations and all the other details that we're giving you, including bringing dogs back to life. But the government wants something and they'll pay you $250,000 a month for it. No way. Eminent domain, that bitch.
they governmented the whole, we'll get into that in just a second. I get what you're saying, but put it on the back burner. He's not an idiot, like I said. So he takes the money and promptly moves to Australia to help save wombats.
What?
Exactly. He literally said his life goal was to go to Australia and save wombats. So he shucks down the road off to Australia.
Oh, was he the one? Was he the one during the Australian brush fires that was making the mittens for koalas and wombats?
Probably. I mean, that's the only thing that makes.
Did
sense.
You see that?
Like, yes.
It was literally.
Oh man, it was
like
so
they would burn their
though.
Little paws from the from trying to climb trees, you know, that were on fire. And somebody was like making healing mittens for them.
Yeah, it's so sad. Some of the pictures and stuff. Oh. So anyway, he either went there because he wanted to save said wombats or he was told to leave. Both of those have been reported different times because the story's kind of changed. Anyway.
What?
Yeah. Well, I also got another thing that's going to blow your mind. Wombats suck. So less than a year later, he comes back to Washington State. And he says it's to visit friends and family, only to be told when he gets here. By the government that his property has been seized. So he does what everyone does. He goes to check his bank account. Well, guess what? There's no fucking money in his bank account. None of it. It's all gone. That $250,000 a month that he was going to live off of when he got back here because he wasn't using because he doesn't take a ton of money to save wombats in the outback. They didn't pay him any of it. Or they had paid it. It went in there and then they took it before he could spend any of it. So there you go, John. There's the governmenting of the money. So he hops a bus like you do to go see family and gets into a fight. And the police come to offer a ride to him. And boom, his memory is blank from the ride then on.
Well, that's because Uncle Jimmy knocked some sense into him.
Well, he knocked something because when he comes to, he's in an alley in San Francisco. With no fucking teeth.
Ugh, been there.
I have no doubt that that is true.
So that's what Mark Twain meant when he said the longest winter he ever spent was a summer in San Francisco?
That was a surprisingly textured and well thought out joke. What exactly is happening?
Danger. The capacitors have overheated. Initiating auto shutdown. This is a recorded response. Cheese muffins.
Motherfucking junk.
That tracks.
It does.
So there he is. He's in San Francisco. No teeth, no money. And
so I want to follow the logic train here. I just want to follow the logic train. All right. I'm in Australia. I'm just not enjoying the wombat life the way I thought I would. I'm not living my best wombat life. So it's time to go back to the States and check out my hole. And I get back and not only have they seized my hole, but they have also seized the very money that they paid me for said hole. And rather than staying there or pursuing the federal government in any way or shape or form, I'm going to hop on a bus to go see family in San Francisco. But once I get there, I'm going to get into a knockdown, drag-out fight with said family.
Right.
And they're going to call the cops on me, and I'm going to wake up without any teeth or memory of the incident.
Well, he's lucky that he woke up in San Francisco because when you're lost out there and you're all alone, a light is waiting to carry you home everywhere you look. That's what they say about that city by the bay. The city.
I knew what you were doing. I knew it. And I.
The city of the rocks. The city that never sleeps.
It's kind of like when you're just about to get into a car crash. Like, you see it happening, you see that you're not going to stop in time, you see what is about to take place, and, you know, if someone were watching you, you barely move in that instant, but it feels like an eternity. You lining that joke up was pretty much that car wreck for me.
You're welcome, I think, is what I'm getting at.
Okay, all right. Okay.
So it doesn't stop there, though, John. Shit keeps piling up on our hero, old Mel Waters, and he's also presented with divorce papers because now he's a toothless.
I mean, he's toothless, poor, lost his hole. You know,
speaking of holes, what do you expect? He's diagnosed
Mrs. Waters to hang around.
Ugh, yeah, I mean, he is diagnosed with cancer. So fuck this,
Mel.
Yeah, and Mel, none of our None of our appliances are avocado. So fuck this.
Mel, did you throw it all down the hole?
Why did he spend $4,000 on fishing test line? Oh.
All I asked for was a new vacuum.
It's 9 miles from Ellensburg. So anyway, fuck this.
Miles of fishing.
He decides to do the only.
It'd be like 2 miles, 5,280 feet.
What's that?
I was
no 9 miles. That's out. That's where the hole was. 9 miles out.
I was thinking about like how deep. 5,280 feet is 1 mile.
So he's like 12 miles down. He was saying.
Yeah. And carry the two. Okay. Yep.
So fuck this. He decides to do the only rational thing: go on a search for other bottomless supernatural holes.
Well, the first one's brought him so much luck. Why wouldn't you?
Well, you know what can they do? Take his teeth. Guess what, John? He found him. He says he found him. He told old Art on January 29th, 2002 about a new bottomless hole that turned a sheep into an odd biological being with seal flippers and human eyes.
God knows I have had that happen.
What?
What?
Well, you know, you almost might say that he's got a nose for holes.
That is... Yes, that's exactly what needed to be said there.
And he's got holes for a nose.
Yeah. I know I just brought up that other hole. We're not going to get into the other holes much. They have stories of their own, like aliens and warnings and burning ice and said sheep, you know, normal shit, you know, stuff like that.
The best part about that story is the fact that the seal with flippers and human eyes came out of the inside of the sheep. It wasn't like it wasn't like it was a changeling or something like that. No. It was inside the sheep. They cut it open and then there was the animal.
Am I part of God's plan?
Shh. Go to sleep.
The best part of the story is like he finishes the story and it almost like wraps up like a fairy tale. Like the seal flaps his little flipper at him and smiles and jumps down the hole.
Welp, I know my place. Toodaloo! I only regret the jump.
So anyway, he did tell of other weird shit that his hole had done in these other calls too. Like when locals said they saw black beams shooting out from the hole at times, you know, anti-light maybe?
Yeah, well, I think they literally refer to it as that, anti-light. Yeah.
And he also said if you held metal objects near the pit's 9-foot wide opening, they would magically change into other metals.
So it's like an alchemy pit too.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a... It's a pit of many surprises.
Now, I only have my beginner's guild card in the National Alchemy Association. Mm. But I'm curious as to what metals changed and if he ever produced examples.
There are lots. Well, you know, there's dimes and mercury dimes and crazy shit with the wrong years. And I didn't get into a lot of it because it was like reading the Bible and they got this and this. And there's a lot of places that just have stats almost like it's his player rookie year. And I just skipped a lot of that because I didn't want to get into it.
All right. So more important question. In the midst of moving to Australia, losing his teeth, getting divorced, catching cancer from the hole, I guess, I don't know. And all the other weird shit that we just covered, including a human seal, in betwixt, he made sure to keep his good buddy Art Bell apprised of the situation.
Well, you know, the public's clamoring for more news of Mel Waters and his hole. So, like you said, it's a hell of a story, though, but he did make other appearances on Bell's show. I said 97, 2000, 2002, and then, of course... Coast to Coast AM rebroadcast shit constantly, and YouTube loves this story, and it's a hell of a story.
I was actually reading Skeptoid about this. Mm-hmm. Brian Dunning is the guy that runs that website/podcast, and mm-hmm. You know, a lot of folks don't like Skeptoid because it's skeptical about everything, but I like it. I think it makes I think in stories where you are unaware of where the holes are, it's easy. Oh, God, I didn't mean that. I didn't mean that, and I take it back. In a story where you are unaware of the problems with the story, he's good at sussing those out. Anyway, but he's certainly pedantic at times. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he goes on when he was telling the story about this to mention a caller from just a few weeks or a month removed from Mel Waters to Coast to Coast that came on to tell the story of this lab that he worked at and how they were working on this pretty special teleportation technology and how there might have been some aliens involved. And as you listen to the story, it sounds more and more familiar, because it's literally the story of Gordon Freeman from Half-Life, the video game Half-Life.
Well, but I never played Half-Life, so like I might not know right off the bat. You know what I mean?
You're right. But this is the mm-hmm. my point is that's just how well they fact check and back check. I love Coast to Coast.
Right.
I do, but come, it's not like because you make it on there, you've proven anything. You call up with a story, they're going to put you on the air if it sounds intriguing enough.
Well, I found this pit originally because of my friend, Pitfall Harry, who used to jump over it. And sometimes he'd swing over it. And sometimes he'd swing over it and jump on over a scorpion. Sometimes there'd be some alligators in the pit, and he'd jump on their heads.
And every now and then somebody'd fire a bullet, and it was a large bullet.
Gold bar. Yay! Not exactly Half-Life, but Pitfall. You know, what am I saying? What do you want? This story, though, is pretty fun because it creates what they described online. They called this style like the modern rule myth. And I dig that even if it's not true, stories like this in
modern rural, meaning like modern.
Rural. Yeah, like rural.
When we say rural, we mean like, you know, out in the country.
Yeah. I like that even in a time when the world is so small, stories like this are still birthed. Now, I say even if it's not true, you know, it's a whole, a dude owns it. He's on the radio. Let's find this fucking thing, right? I mean, that seems to be step number one. He's talking about this.
One would think.
Well, now starts the issues. I mean, almost immediately after the first time, people start looking into the story and into Mel Waters. And the exact location of the hole was unspecified. So people do what they do, and people are great about these things. It's like you just said, finding that they get to work. And they find that no such person was listed as residing in that area.
Unsurprising. It's a nom de plume. I mean, when you've got when you've got a hole like this, you don't just go sharing that shit.
That's not the thing that throws me off that much. I mean, why would you probably use your real name, you know, in such a situation like this? Waters, though, he claimed that his wife worked for Central Washington University, and he gave her name. That fact was untrue also. Now, big deal. Like you said, people use fake names. Do you think John Goforth is a real name? Please. You know, like, fuck, it doesn't even sound real.
Good point.
Anyway, good point. Back to a different gaping hole. Fake names aside.
Wait. What just happened?
No, not you. No, just back. You know, people want to see this thing. And John, people tried. Local news reporters even investigated the claims, and they found, once again, no public records of anyone named Mel Waters ever residing or owning property in the county.
Yeah, that was really interesting to me, because they not only did they not find Mel Waters or a relative owning property, they also said that they couldn't even find a transaction of property taking place in like a general, like, you know, throw a radius on a map.
Because he had
area.
Thrown a radius and they expanded it out and nothing fit the bill.
Nothing fit the bill in that year from anyone with any name.
And then they expanded that out and it didn't fit the bill, so to speak. So that's a telling little thing. And then you got this geologist named Jack Powell. He's with the State Department of Natural Resources. And he says that the hole does not exist because it is geologically impossible. And if it did, we would know. He says, this is why. He says a hole that deep would collapse on into itself under the tremendous pressure and heat from the surrounding strata. So Powell said an ordinary old mine shaft on property was probably the inspiration for the stories. It could even have been a well because of the ringing around it. And he commented that Mel's Hole had established itself as a legend based on no evidence at all.
Fuck you, Powell.
Calm your tits, robot. So
now, what? Now, wait. Hey, in Seabot's defense, didn't we say that because it's a magic hole that all these silly things like physics and nature don't apply?
So it is interesting. They even talked about how like deep holes like that can change, barometric pressures and cause like atmospheric conditions and stuff like that. And so, but you're right. We're not taking into consideration magic.
Exactly. Thank you.
Just, yeah. Several people also claim to see it. And now if you remember back to the story, Mel also said that farmers threw like cattle into it when they were dead and people dumped their trash. He dumped his trash in there the entire time he'd been there. No one had ever heard anything ever hit. So then they go out and they talk to everyone living in the area. And no one knows what the fuck they're talking about, or they're really good at keeping a secret. Which is, you know, would be astonishing.
Well, you said several people claim to have seen it. Mel claims that several people have seen it. There
right.
aren't several people saying, yeah, oh yeah, I saw it.
There were several, but there was at least one. Maybe he could lead us to it. That one person, maybe. We're going to find out who that was. And if he could, right after the break, that's coming up on Hysteria 51.
Acast powers some of the world's best podcasts. Here's a show we recommend.
Hello, everyone. I'm Danny Pellegrino.
I'm Jenna Brister.
And we are back for season two of a very merry, iconic podcast. We're going to be diving into your favorite holiday movies, recapping them, and going on a few tangents.
Yes, and it's the end of the world as we know it. So why not close out 2020 with a bunch of episodes of Holiday Recap with us?
So we hope everyone grabs a cup of eggnog.
And a fistful of candy.
Cook that bird in
Doritos.
The
Doritos. We don't care what you're into. Just join us.
Grab your bed wine. Grab your couch cocoa. We're getting lit on the holiday movies. We'll be doing 10 recap episodes. So subscribe to A Very Merry Iconic Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, and find us on social media at A Very Merry Iconic Podcast on Instagram, and we'll have all the updates there.
Acast recommends.
Brent, one of the theories I read about Mel's Hole is It at the bottom, it's not bottomless. It in fact, you probably reach the bottom fairly quickly once you jump in the bottom of it on this plane of existence.
Oh, it's like a wormhole?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That
so, and that's the reason that, you know, you might think it's bottomless because, you know, you put a weight on test line and you can always draw it back because it's kind of going in and out of another dimension. Maybe a pocket universe, even. I don't know.
When I think you can't get any stupider, you say something like that. That's my story. No.
You left me hanging.
Was,
okay.
That part was
all right. So, Brent, you mentioned before the break that there was one other person at minimum who claims that the hole is real.
Yeah, that came forward and said, I'll be damned or I'll be dipped. That's the more PC way to say it. I'll be dangled in a hole. I know where it's at.
His name is Gerald R. Osborne.
Now, that's not what he likes to go by.
No. He goes by Red Elk, which, okay, so here's the thing. I want to be careful here. We are not making fun of the man for being Native American, nor are we making fun of any Native Americans. What we are making fun of is the fact that Mr. Osborne is reportedly 0% Native American, calls himself Red Elk, and says he is a intertribal medicine man. These are his words, half-breed, Native American, and white.
Yeah, and if you look at him, he looks like the dude at every table at a Cracker Barrel.
He is nowhere near as good as the half-Indian tracker I have on my Spec Ops team.
For the last time, Predator is a movie, and you were not in it. I can't even believe I have to fucking say that.
I mean, you can believe it. You know, let's true. Be honest.
That's true. That's true.
So anyway, listen. Gerald told reporters in 2012...
Red Elk.
Oh, my bad. Red Elk told reporters in 2012 that he visited the hole many times since 1961 and claimed the U.S. government maintained a top secret base there where, quote, alien activity occurs.
I knew it.
So there it is. A person who frequents it and confirms. Let's go.
Well, wait. Oops. Nope.
Nope, not so much. Because he said he was going to lead folks there. In 2002, he organized an expedition of 30 people to, you guessed it, nothing.
Ding, 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 ding.
Somehow they got out in the middle of nowhere and he kind of forgot where it was.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, the spirits didn't want him to find it that day. They just, or they weren't in the cards.
It's true. It's true. He's pretty sure, though, that its actual purpose is to connect us with the quasi-reptilian creatures that live in the center of the Earth. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah, well, now we're all coming. And they're also Nazis.
Banging on all cylinders now.
Sure. Oh, God. And Brent, if it wasn't bad enough that there's this bottomless pit just sitting there reincarnating pets and having aliens live in it, if that weren't bad enough, the aliens are gay.
Take it from the mouth of babes. And by mouth of babes,
here's Red Elk.
There's going to be some real interaction, and they want to control us as slaves, as food, as sex items. Doesn't matter if they're male and you are either, I guarantee you.
So it's not that they would be taking you forcibly. It's the fact that it might be a male alien taking you forcibly.
Hey, I mean, do we even know if they're male or female? Like, maybe we don't understand the way that they...
I just love that, I mean, he can't even hide his homophobic and bigoted tendencies when he's telling stories about made-up aliens and holes that go to the Hollow Earth. So I'm in my estimation, Red Elk had some Mel's Hole fan fiction going on right there.
I think that's, yeah. And we didn't even get into the Denver the Last Dinosaur aspects of it. So,
okay.
The best fan fiction. How do so many people, though, John, my question is, who knew where it was and or routinely dump shit into it, disappear or forget or keep it secret whenever the world comes a knocking? Trying to find.
Well, I think you already nailed it. Magic.
It's cloaked from prying eyes. It's there. We just don't see it because they choose for us not to.
That's true.
It's not invisible. We just don't notice.
But Brent, there have been holes that are crazy and deep and have crazy shit going on with them.
Mine shafts are common, especially in that part of Washington. John, you and I have experience with mine shafts. Your house growing up had mine subsidence. My house was right next to a mine. We had a giant shaft that they had filled constantly when I was growing up. Shafts aside.
Poor Brent. When he was a little one, he was constantly exposed to this giant shaft.
Yeah. They say that it is not a possible thing outside the realm of the supernatural, where, as we've told you, all bets are off. But the physics of a hole collapsing on itself is there, the heat, etc. And one of the reasons that we know that is there's this thing called the Kola Super Deep Borehole, or people call it the Well to Hell. And it is the deepest spot on Earth that is man-made and that we have drilled to. And it's 40,230 feet or 7.6 miles. Mel's hole is twice as deep, he said, that he got to. And up at the Kola Super Deep Borehole, drilling was stopped in 92 because the temps down there were 356 degrees Fahrenheit. And they said at that heat, rock kind of turns to plastic and pressure is just multiple atmospheres.
Yeah. Well,
and
like it behaves like plastic. So it makes it so much harder to drill.
And it's just it's impossible. Another unexpected discovery was these huge pockets and quantities of hydrogen gas that when they're drilling, it mud filled up. They said it was boiling with hydrogen. So much hydrogen that it just came up through all the rubble. That was at a depth of half as deep as Mel's hole, and you could not drop string with a weight on the end of it without melting it. But again, magic. So,
well, you also get to a point where, like, I was reading somewhere that in Washington, the Earth's crust can vary in size from anywhere from I think at its shortest or smallest, it was something like 30,000 feet, mm-hmm. and then its largest at like to 100 to 120,000 feet. Point being, when you start talking about 80,000 feet and beyond, you get to the point where you're going to get past the Earth's crust.
Right, right. Or you can, and all bets are off.
Right.
Look at the issues the Oak Island boys have at getting deep enough to find stuff. You know, they have flooding, they have cave-ins constantly. People can't even get down there. I mean, it's just a nightmare.
But again, they don't have magic.
Well, yeah, they have coconut fibers, and it's not the same.
Almost the same.
Now, we did tell you about those other weird holes. There are more. And if you guys want to look into them, we're going to have links on our website in our show notes. And some of it reads like stereo instructions, but there are a lot of information on other things. There was the Basque hole, B-A-S-Q-U-E. Is that how you would say it?
Yeah, Basque. Kind of like the Basque country.
Kimberly's hole.
That is my fave OnlyFans site to date.
Of course it is. And there's others, but those are the big ones. The big three were the Basque, Kimberly, and Mel's hole. And
I thought his favorite OnlyFans site was like a Frigidaire OnlyFans.
Just slamming someone's hand in a back and forth on a Frigidaire. And that's nice.
Yeah. Get an appliance.
Let's try to bring this beast home. John, speaking of Skeptoid, we got a quote from them. Why don't you hit him with that? Because I thought it was pretty good.
But why did Mel's hole strike such a nerve and convince so many people that it was real? Believers in the merely curious set up a website, melshole.com, to share information and track progress on finding either Mel or his mysterious hole. The site generated more than 8,000 posts on nearly 600 topics until its moderator threw in the towel and acknowledged that no progress had been made in 10 years since Mel called the Coast to Coast AM program, and that the site was effectively dead unless Mel came forward. Wah, wah.
Yep.
And I think more importantly than that, even Brent, let's end this with a quote from Philip Lipson, who is the co-director of Seattle's Museum of the Mysteries. Mr. Lipson.
I kind of call it the Moby Dick of the Northwest, because it's like, you know, like this Moby Dick was about a whale. This is about a hole.
I think that has to be added to the show. I think
needs to be on the fucking soundboard. C-Bot, make it
so. That's what I'm saying. It's like
Moby Dick. It is, but a hole.
That's right next to Travis Walton and things being so huge, bigger than Walmart's. I mean, that is great.
Oh, man. Yeah. So, John, let's bring it home and give our thoughts on this. This was, like I said, I wanted to talk about this a little bit because this was something that so many people had asked for, and then old snatch twat picked it. Of course, if you've listened to the fucking episode, you know this story doesn't pass my smell test, and it shouldn't yours either. A person called a popular 4chan radio show using a fake name and told an impossible story about an unverifiable place with magical properties. No one can back it up because, you know, they don't exist. No one exists that has been or at least came forward. But it is fun. So fun that it caught the nation's attention. And if you're into these topics, it's one that a lot of people have latched onto. Millions of people listen to these calls and were hooked by the idea of, I think, the unknown being true was probably the catch on it. Some people still go out searching for the hole, and that means people are out there searching for the unknown. And that's important to me because it's what John and I do week after week for you guys. So hole or not, it sure has a lot of value, I think, a story like this. It's gotten its mileage out of it for just a dude calling into a radio show.
Or maybe it is all true and you can't find him because the powers that be Lazard has passed and took over the hole. I know that was our plan when I left the NSA back in 1999.
Yeah, well, that makes more sense than some of the shit he said.
I mean, Brent, I don't have much to add. You're right. I agree with you. It's a ridiculous story that I find has a 0% chance of being true. I don't believe in magic holes that you don't pay for. I'm sorry. No, I don't believe in magic holes. I don't believe in bottomless pits. I don't believe in any of this story at all.
You gotta pay the troll toll if you wanna get the boy's soul.
Did you say boy's soul or boy's hole? Sorry, Always Sunny. Sorry, Frank.
Soul.
Yeah, I'm happy for this one. I'm happy we did it, John.
I am too. I enjoyed doing the research, but I want to know from the nation if we're wrong. If we are just missing the boat and Mel's Hole is out there reviving dogs and cattle and changing metals around and all of that.
Yeah.
And the best place they can do that is go to our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation.
This week, your homework is to post a picture of your favorite hole on Hysteria Nation.
It is not.
It's not your homework.
But you can post about mysterious holes that are in the ground that fit and don't get us banned from Facebook. You could do that there. Don't forget also facebook.com/hysteria51pod. That is our Facebook page. We got a Patreon, patreon.com/hysteria51. You can get every 2 weeks we're doing Mad Blurry Hysteria, radio dramas, all sorts of fun stuff, t-shirts, pins, posters, stickers to stick on anything. Someone put one on the Great Wall of China and took photos.
Oh my God,
recently.
I saw it. It was so great.
You know, I'm not a fan of graffiti, but that vandalism hit close to home. So, you know, good for
you. That was so great. I mean, that individual only has to spend the next 30 years of their life in a Chinese prison for doing so. But, it worth it to me?
Yeah. Thanks. Zhang. No, I think that's that's another language. But anyway.
Cantonese.
Voicemail 773-669-7277. Again, 773-669-7277. How about some Twitter, John? Tell them about Twitter.
Well, it's a website. Now, go to Twitter and follow us as a podcast, and that's at Hysteria51Pod. You can also follow us as individuals. He is at the Brent Hand. I am at GoFo Light, the number one.
Yeah, that's GoFolite. One.
That's right.
Give us a follow on Twitter, and we'd love to grow our people on there. Reddit, you can find it. We have a Hysteria 51 subreddit. All our social media links you can find. One spot, hysteria51.com, gofopedia.com, gofopedia.com. Tell a friend about the show. Tell them about a hole you want them to know about. I think that's a nice thing to do.
It's what friends do. It's what friends do, Brent.
You got a hole in me.
Listen, it's a good thing we aren't friends.
You got a hole in me. Yeah, no, it's what a crazy fucking story. I'm gonna say, we need to organize some people calling in randomly to George Nori on Coast to Coast telling a story that just catches
up. Tell various video game stories.
There I was, hungry, and there's pellets everywhere. But the place was haunted.
But they can only be a Atari 2600 games.
Yeah, exactly. You might say I went on an adventure. And everything went kaboom.
So I had this pet kangaroo who loved to box and ring bells. That's all he did all day. Box and ring bells. By the way, I've been playing some Atari 2600 lately, Brent.
I saw you got one.
Yeah, I got one for my three-year-old and have been indoctrinating him into video games the way in which I was indoctrinated.
You've also got on the Atari 2600 Junior, which is actually the newer looking of the Atari 2600.
Yeah, that's right. I didn't get the Woody.
It matches the 7800 and the 5200, so that's kind of cool. I have the old school heavy sixer.
You know what I learned?
What's that?
Contrary to the visual design of the Atari 2600 Junior, it's actually meant to be set up backwards, essentially, meaning the where you plug all the cords in and stuff, that should be facing you. My entire childhood, it was facing away from me, and it was such a pain in the ass to change out the joysticks, and you had to put the game in backwards.
What you need to do, John, you got to go get yourself a Sega Genesis controller because they work on an Atari. And then some of those games are easier with that. They made a D-pad, a directional pad for it, but they're expensive. A Sega Genesis controller will work just fine on it.
I'll get one. I also need to get one of those paddles. There's some games that I can't play because the joystick physically it's not that it works better. It just doesn't work. Like,
so you need like the spinny paddle, you're saying? With the
Raiders of the Lost Ark's one of them. Breakout is another.
Oh yeah, Kaboom! One of my favorite games of all time. On there, yeah, is another. Yeah, yeah. Which is just catching bombs in a bucket. You know, beat 'em and eat 'em. That's one you should get your kid. It's a guy jerking off, and you're a woman, and you catch the semen in your mouth. That's a real game. Swear to God.
Oh, is that like a homebrew?
No, it was. There was a few pornographic games released back then.
Oh, like a small indie publisher released it.
Yeah, but they were released.
Wow. No, I don't think I'll be getting that one. Although I did get, as part of a bulk buy, I got the Atari 2600 Burger Time.
Oh, nice. Yeah,
it didn't hold up so well on the retrofit or whatever. Yeah, they were
Burger
doing.
Time and Tapper.
Pac-Man.
Aren't as good. Well, Pac-Man was notoriously horrible. But yeah, E.T., if you read the directions, it'll make a lot more sense. And it's not as terrible of a game as everyone says it is. You got to read the directions and then it makes a lot more sense. Getting out of the holes and shit is easier.
Speaking of holes.
2 cents. That's been Mel's our story hole. Of Mel's Hole. Well, with that said, John, I've been Brent.
I've been John.
He's been Conspiracy Bot.
Stay woke, meat sex.
It was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. John and Brent will be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite. Join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a fourth-hand shine.